to the Reckless Dice Live Play Sessions, where we explore the grim world of perilous adventure in Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. Tonight's adventure, The Mad Men of Gotheim. My name is Jesse Burke, and I'll be your host and GM. Our cast of characters tonight include Jay Miller, playing Doran Finslane, the Rank 2 High Elf Duelist.
Hello.
Recently demoted from a Judicial Champion, as your person for whom which you were a champion of is no longer alive. Doug Beard, playing Madison Pattison, a Rank 2 Halfling Thief.
Hello, hello.
And Layla Burke, playing Bernagut Kazmus' daughter, Ganvilgar, a newly appointed Rank 3 Dwarven Master Investigator.
Hey, everyone.
All right, so everyone's grown sick of the city. We've all decided Ubersreich, it's politics, it's scheming. All the people in the parties is not for you anymore. You were heading back out onto the road and getting your legs stretched and seeing the sights and moving across the countryside. And you've decided that heading down to the nearby city of Avernheim, it's one of the larger cities south of Ubersreich, might be a place to spend the weekend. Now, on your way, you're passing through a small region and community of kind of rural farming villages of Gotheim. And you're traveling along the Ubersreich Auerswald, I'm sorry, I said Avernheim, Auerswald Road. And it's early in the day. In the Gotheim region, it's a small farming community focused on cultivation of wheat and goat herding. And you're rolling along on your newly purchased cart, and which is being pulled by your also newly purchased draft horse named
Apollo.
Apollo's a boy?
Sure.
All right. Now, who's riding in the cart?
Madison Pattison.
And Bernie.
All right. And then next to the cart, following along on your newly purchased riding horse, which you've yet to name, Doran Finn the elf follows along.
Now, you can just call him horse.
There you go, horse.
Horse.
Well, maybe your horse will earn a name at some point, but for now, he's gone unnamed. It's like a child who hasn't been named until it's gone like a couple years old. Has to survive long enough first. Now, the region has several small towns or villages, and then it has a central a village, which the locals call the city, but it's not really a city. It's a city in the scale of the surrounding small villages, but it's really just a kind of the central trade route and hub of the region. Now, it has the air of a town, offering a number of services normally unseen in small villages. There's only a small score of buildings. And you learn that there is a village elder named Wilhelm Kriegsrich, but nobody really calls him the village elder. He's really just known as the Burgomeister. Now, Gotheim boasts a well-appointed forge. You learn that it has a barber shop and surgery, a large coaching inn, and even a rather impressive temple of Sigmar that doubles as a schoolhouse. And to the north of the village, it's somewhat famous for having a significant levee that holds back a lake that diverts the water into a nearby stream, and that is used to like power mills and really give the region the power it needs for production. And as you're traveling along, you crest a hill, and in the distance you see, where should be the direction of Gotheim, you see billowing clouds of smoke. Amongst the billowing clouds of smoke, you can also see rising above everything else a large brass dome, which is a building and looks to be some kind of temple, perhaps. But it can be seen from miles away.
And it's rising up?
Like above all else. Okay. You know, that it can be seen from miles away and the sun reflects off of it in Gotheim.
In Gotheim, okay.
Now, before you're able to actually reach Gotheim, you're traveling down the road, and it's, you don't even have to test for this. You can hear this happening long before it occurs. You hear a variety of characters within the woods nearby and on the sides of the path approaching and making a fair amount of noise. And there's some whooping and some yelling and some threats being thrown out as this group of people begin to approach your location from the sides.
And they're threatening us?
Probably.
What do they look like?
Well, they haven't emerged from the foliage yet, but they—you can hear them coming. They're making no secret of their approach.
I will load my sling.
I'll shout out, "Who goes there?"
You hear them say, "We see you, demons!"
I'm gonna ready my weapon.
Demon? Who's a demon?
Crazy.
Haven't you ever seen a dwarf before?
We won't listen to your lies. And someone else, like, kind of, like, encourages him. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. And you can see, like, all of a sudden this group, this frenzied mob, pushes their way outside of a bush. And they're wielding pitchforks. They're wielding hoes and axes and a variety of pointy farm implements. And they look crazed.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And they are making an angry approach at your cart.
I'll shoot my blunderbuss in the air.
Whoa. That actually has some effect. Because everybody who gets shot at by any black powder weapon has to make a cool check. Which they fail. You fire that thing off in the air and it makes a deafening roar. Now I do need you to roll because those things can explode in your hand.
Okay.
So you don't want a 90.
A 51.
Perfect. All right, so it does not blow up in your hand. We are going to familiarize ourselves with black powder weapons this game, right?
All
right?
Yes.
So you fire that thing off, and they are scared for a moment as they begin to scatter and begin looking about. But there's a craze to them that kind of starts to come back, and they begin to like refocus their efforts as they look around and regroup and begin pointing at you guys again.
So. No, I mean, and so, like, in the meanwhile, we'll be like, settle down, you know, like, there are no demons here.
I'm gonna reach back in the back of the cart and grab a handful of nails or whatever else is back there to help the reloading process of said blunderbuss. Because I know this is gonna take a while to reload. So as she's yelling at him, I'm gonna start throwing stuff in the blunderbuss.
I'll yell out, "Let me speak to your leader."
You hear the name of the Burgomeister thrown around by a few of them, but it's not in a coherent sentence. Like it is.
Where is this Burgomeister?
And they said, "You won't get back into our village again. We'll slay you, spawn of chaos.
Have you
spawn
guys
of darkness? Quick, bring them down!" And one guy runs forward with his pitchfork up in the air.
Then I'm gonna shoot at him.
All right,
if he's running,
give him a shot.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to...
Wait. What did that just trigger? So one of my bonuses that triggered...
I'm not going to have you roll damage. If you hit him, we're good. These are just like lowly peasants, and I know your weapon's capable of it, having been through this before. He goes down like a sack of bricks and tumbles to the ground. The other several people don't seem fazed by it. They seem independently crazed.
Order! I call order amongst all of you. All
right, now do you want to talk him out of it? You want to intimidate him? What do you
I want them to all to just, like, chill. Like, just stop.
I'm going to try to intimidate them by the horse and my bow.
Okay, well, you just did something. I want to give Layla a chance since she has an idea.
So what do I roll?
So I kind of want to know, are you trying to leadership them? Are you trying to give them instructions? Let's go with fellowship then, and leadership skill if you want to use that.
My leadership is... Oh, I don't have any. Fellowship's not great either.
All right, the dwarf tries to talk some sense into him.
Can I intimidate them instead?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
I'll give you take one free success level since you're because of the success of firing the blunderbuss a moment ago.
Okay, I'll intimidate them because that's strength. I have better strength. Actually, with the extra success level, I'm neutral. All
right. So tell me what do you want this outcome to look like?
I just want them to stop moving and stay still. All
right, they do. Though they're glaring at you menacingly.
Okay.
They're beyond rational thought the longer you take a look at them. Something has disturbed them beyond what would normally be a human interaction.
Okay, so I'll say then, if you take the time to tell me coherently what it is that's got you so riled up, I will make a oath to destroy it.
All right, I need a minus 30 charm check.
Minus 30 charm?
Or let's do an opposed rather. But it's minus 30 to your roll.
Meaning
you suffer a penalty of 30 points to your roll.
So add 3 to your 10s, yeah.
That is a...
Oh, what a roll.
Is that a good roll?
Okay, so it's
they rolled a 1.
It's a charm.
0-1.
What? Oh.
You're kidding.
No,
they're not listening to you.
So you said charm, it was a charm check, yeah. And minus 30 would bring me to 10.
Yeah, so it's all about success levels, though, so you might still beat them.
I mean, I'm neutral.
You're neutral? Okay, so they got by 2. Oh. They you think you've got them. You gave them an impassioned speech and instructions, and just like the craze in their eyes looked like it kind of diminished for a second, but then something clicked. They reverted back to whatever it was that freaked them out. And they charge at you guys again.
Wait, you know what we didn't do? We didn't give my Warhammer any stats.
We decided, well, you have a new Warhammer. Let's talk
right.
about that.
Yeah. So, like, because I'm about to unleash it.
Okay. Well, maybe as you swing at these poor, crazed townspeople, you can tell Bernie and Dornfin about where this new Warhammer came from.
I am Bernie.
I'm sorry, Madison and Brent Dornfin.
Yeah, so I picked up this sweet Warhammer.
One sentence per swing here, right?
It was my husband's, who is now missing. But I picked this up from where I last saw him. And, you know, it's cool.
And it's got a flashy dwarven rune etched on the side of the hammer.
It's like pure black, yeah, with a rune, and the rune is
it's the rune of strength.
Yeah.
Or the rune of might.
Might. It's the might, yeah.
Which for game purposes is gonna translate into anything you do with that hammer confers a plus 10 to your strength.
Okay.
So that should result in plus 1 damage and probably an increase in your chance to hit.
So what are the other stats for it?
Otherwise, it's just a hand weapon. So it'll be the same as your, I think you had a sword.
I had a sword.
Yeah, so you can just cross out your sword and put the hammer in there if you want, because it's just otherwise the same stats, just with the plus 10 bonus.
Okay.
And it counts as magical.
Okay.
So that does mean ghosts, wraiths, other things that are ethereal can be hurt by it.
Okay. Pretty sweet.
So they run in. Yeah, Layla's gonna take a swing at it. Madison, you're throwing a slingshot.
Oh yeah,
that's a good looking roll.
It is a good roll. Yes.
What?
Even.
I had 3 here before, so would I write 10 or is
so
this
it's your,
something
it's
else?
It's your strength bonus.
Uh huh.
Plus, I think it's. Plus 7, is it? Or plus 5 for the hand weapon? Do you guys have the hand weapon handy?
I had plus 3.
I didn't.
I got it right here. Hang on a sec. Range weapons. Okay, melee weapons are strength bonus plus 4.
Okay, but I get then...
Plus 1 more, so it'd be plus 5.
You said plus 10 something?
No, your success levels plus your strength bonus plus 5. And that plus 5 includes the bonus point.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So.
Hit.
You hit. And
yes.
What kind of damage are we looking at?
We do success level plus, so 8 total.
8 total. You throw one out there, clobbering one of them. Oh, can you throw me the
body
right?
Dice?
Yeah. Hit him in the...
Hit!
In the leg, and he tumbles to the ground as he drops his frying pan that he's...
Can I say,
It is done.
As he tumbles.
All right.
And how many more are there, since we're standing there staring at him?
There's like a mob of 5, but we're not going to necessarily go one for one here. We're kind of fighting them as a group. as far as stats go. Okay.
So I'll just swing at anybody nearby.
All right, give me a roll.
Melee?
Yep.
Is there a positive advantage for being elevated in the cart?
Yes, take a plus 10 for that.
Because she's swinging down at whoever's coming. Yeah. Whom?
Though she is a dwarf, so maybe
that's what I'm saying. Maybe
she <they're laughs> might be right at eye level.
Okay, melee. So I, again, neutral out.
Neutral out. All right, they're minus one. So you hit. So with a positive one success level.
Okay, is that what... That's the success level is plus one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so plus one plus my strength bonus is four. So nine. Is that right?
Four success levels, one. Strength bonus is four, mm-hmm. So that's five, plus the five damage, so 10 damage.
10, yeah.
10 damage. All right, you clobber another one off to the side as he goes flying. Combat at that point evolves into a quick but dirty mess of you guys putting these peasants out of their misery. They fight to the very last man in a rage that seems unnatural.
Yeah.
They're possessed by something.
Yeah.
They continually call you demons. They continually curse you back to the realm of more.
I grumble about how it didn't have to go this way the entire time.
As you're smashing skulls?
Yeah.
Yes. This really sucks!
But I do take pride in doing
foolish,
it.
Foolish humans in their...
Do they appear to have anything value? Any?
They carry nothing of value other than very poor quality farming implements and kitchenware. They... Almost as if they didn't even bring it with them if they had anything.
Weak constitutions, susceptible to all this chaos.
Do they appear like they've been in a fire recently?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe these guys came from Smoky Town down the street.
Did we get rid of them all?
Yes.
All of them? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, and they came at us from the direction of the forest, which we kind of both, I mean...
Yes.
But this is the road leading to there that would have been a perfect trap.
I'm just saying we're probably going to have to deal with more of these crazy mobs.
Do they have any markings on them? Any colors, insignias, anything?
So you hop down and investigate them.
Yeah. Sure.
They appear to be farm folk. There's nothing really that interesting about them. Their eyes are a bit bloodshot. They have...
Do they smell of anything?
Death.
They smell of humans. Dirty humans. Mm. But also smoke and soot.
Okay.
Yeah. But they look... even in death, they look stressed out.
They look stressed out? Okay.
Is there... Now that it's kind of... They've settled down, they're quiet. Do I hear anything weird? Like low hums or anything that might be going on that's making people crazy?
Yeah, are we getting a sixth sense?
Yeah, am I using my sixth sense to decide if there's something crazy?
You sense that... It's not going to be a whole lot new, but all you really sense is that these guys were incredibly disturbed. Catastrophically disturbed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's their age range?
The whole gamut.
Okay.
Not kids, but I mean, like, they're all, you know, young adults to elder people.
And all men, any women amongst them?
Both.
Both.
But they just look like hard workers.
They look like peasants.
Okay. Well.
Farmers, most likely.
Well, they don't have anything of value, so.
Yeah.
Let's
pitchforks. Pitchforks.
I say, let's trudge onward, unenthusiastically.
Yeah. All right. Apollo gives a tug, and the cart moves on.
I'm gonna ride it on guard, though.
Yeah, and then horse follows until
yes, there's a loaded blunderbuss now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm gonna assume that unless you're reloading the blunderbuss in combat,
yes.
Like there'll be a reload because it's pretty.
Yeah, I'll reload it.
So you arrive at the city, or I shouldn't call it city, the town of Gotheim. I'm gonna put.
Now that we're closer, does this like temple thing look wow?
We'll get there in a second. Okay. Yep, we'll get there. So first things first. Oh, here, let me take the frenzied mob. They're gone now. You see this. And you can pass that around here for a second. And a description. You arrive at the outskirts of Gotheim. And through the shattered gates is a scene of shocking devastation. The village has been subjected to an attack of sudden and intense violence. Many of the small cottages that stood here have been pulled apart, reduced to piles of wood and reed. Tongues of flame rise from some of these piles. The palisade that rings the village has been torn apart in places, and the heavy stakes reduced to matchwood. Corpses are strewn about like wheat sheaves after harvest, and the heavy impressions of huge four-toed feet lead a winding path through the carnage. To your left is a tall coaching inn that still stands undamaged. Raised voices can be heard from within. To your right, smoke rises from the interior of a small village forge, and the tall brass dome of a temple of Sigmar proudly dominates the skyline before you. So here is what you see of the map so far. And you guys can pass that around for a moment. The numbers will represent points of interest, though I won't tell you what they are yet.
And we are at one, I suspect.
Is one the gate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are at the gate, and then to your right, immediate right, is the forge. To your immediate left is a coaching inn.
Three, two, okay.
And if you guys want to write notes on there, by all means, go for it. And then straight ahead of you is the Temple of Sigmar. Those three structures appear to still be intact.
Okay. Oh, so I'm sorry, you said two was what?
The inn.
Yeah.
Okay.
The forge is three.
Forge is three.
That's the Temple of Sigmar.
Okay. Forge.
And then,
are there any people?
Alive out in the streets? No. It looks,
I mean,
alive.
Obviously you said there's bodies everywhere, yeah. But are there people?
Yeah. So you look about, you don't see anybody walking about outside. It is a scene of utter devastation.
But we can hear them in the inn.
Yes.
Okay.
And you also hear voices from the forge.
Hmm. And the forge is to the right? Inn's to the left.
Yeah.
Which way do we want to go?
I want to go to the inn first.
That's where I want to go. Cool. Yeah.
Is a coaching inn like where we would store our horses and our wagon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go do that.
You guys cozy right on up and park your cart at the coaching inn for the first time. Now, the coaching inn...
I've never had a cart before.
It's awesome.
None of my parties have ever, like, owned any, like...
I wanted to do it this time. I thought it'd be fun. So you ride up to... It seems silly to given all the carnage, that this building is still somewhat intact, but you see the swinging sign of the Red Queen Coaching Inn.
Red Queen.
And the Red Queen Coaching Inn, it's a large two-story inn adjacent to a stable. It is an impressive half-timbered building decorated with comic phrases depicting fabulous beasts in different states of inebriation. And the inn sign depicts a fanciful illustration of Empress Beatrice holding hammer and scepter. Now, it stands next to a wide courtyard paved with irregular stones and a large round well that stands in the center of the courtyard. Again, inside, you can hear voices. You guys park your cart.
Were there other carts and horses in the stable other than ours?
No.
Okay.
If they
not a lot of travelers, guys. Okay.
You guys heading inside?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
Now, the ground floor is taken up with a spacious bar room, a small kitchen, a cramped bedchamber for some staff, and upstairs there's some modest double rooms for visitors and a common room with a dozen straw mattresses strewn about the floor. And the bar is stocked with copious quantities of cheap ale and wine, as well as some bottles of what appear to be a locally brewed schnapps that has a crudely written like label on it. But the ground floor is devoid of people. You hear a man and a woman arguing rather loudly upstairs. You hear, "Take your hands off me! Let me go! It's the only way out! The only way, I say!" To which you hear, "No, Wilhelm, please! Don't do it!"
I'll rush up the stairs.
Yeah. Upstairs.
You guys run upstairs to see two individuals. You see a barmaid and a man dressed rather ostentatiously. Now, the woman, she's like in her 30s, dressed in a leather jerkin, green pantaloons and a large white apron, short, stout, and a dark cropped hair. She seems fearful and panicked, and she's trying to pull a man who's standing on the windowsill of the second story, already perched up on it, attempting to throw himself out the window. Mm. And she's holding on to his arm and his jacket, trying to pull him back in. And he is... Let's see, where is the description? Here, he's an older guy in his 60s, with sparse white locks of hair and a tremendous beer gut. He's dressed rather ostentatiously for a peasant, wearing a colorful red jerkin and slashed fabric to show off his puffy white linen shirt underneath.
Hmm. Fancy. I'll just run in and grab him and pull him in.
All right, you're just gonna go for it.
Yeah.
All right, run in there. Give me an agility check.
Agility?
He seems startled as a dwarf runs in to grab at him.
Oh, I get a 2.
You grab him by the britches and you yank his booty back down into the floor as he crashes down with a thud onto his back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the woman falls back onto against the wall, seeps down, and begins crying into her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And the man begins to speak slowly and he begins blinking repeatedly as he begins to stammer, and he's talking kind of catatonically to himself.
Okay, I say, calm yourself, man. Ling. Maybe I'll like slap him or something, just like, you know, you give the little like...
Alright, you give him a slap across the face and tell the manling to buck up.
Yeah.
He does not respond well to that and begins to murmur and stammer and begin talking about something dark in the night.
I look to the woman. Is she coherent?
She's crying in her hands.
But, like, I say, woman, stop your stammering and like, can you explain what's happening here? We just ran into a mob full of crazed people.
I need a charm check from you at minus 10.
At minus 10. God, this town is like effed.
They roll a minus 1.
I roll a minus 3. Minus 3.
Minus 3. She...
Actually, it's a 77, so...
So it's a failure too, then. Her,
yeah.
Her she... She, you fumble in a tent. So you maybe accidentally insult them in a way you didn't intend, and she goes bawling into an even more wail, and she is whispering to herself amongst the wails about the darkness and the creature.
I'll look to you guys at this point.
I'll see if I can get her to figure out what's going on here.
You want to try and talk her down?
Sure.
Let's take a charm check again. Minus 10.
Nope.
All right, leave this.
At this point, she is inconsolable.
Come on, little one.
I'm gonna grab her by the shoulders and ask if I can get any of that special peach schnapps you guys have downstairs.
Yes,
to the forming.
I'll give you a plus 10, minus 10, because you're honing in on something she might be familiar with.
That's why I'm trying to, like, you're supposed to be serving us.
All right, neutral roll. Let's see what you got. It's not meant to be.
Negative one.
She is 2. She is permanently lost here. She is. You have all attempted to gain her.
I'm going downstairs.
And she is lost to her own mind.
Okay. Do we?
The
have,
man though is still.
Do we have rope? Or is there anything?
I got
here?
Rope.
Yeah, I have rope.
Ten yards.
Yeah. Okay. Can we just like tie them to each other so that they don't flying off the building?
You tie them both. You tie them both to what? To get each other.
Is there a bed?
Yeah, bed. Something.
Yeah.
Tie
them to the bed.
All right.
You know, and then to the alcohol.
She does not fight you so much as the man does, as he's a little bit more coherent than she is, but she, you bring her into one of the rooms and she wails and cries about what's going on, and there's a variety of nonsense that she throws out.
Since we're on the second floor, can I look out any window to, like, surveil the rest of the town from, like...
Yeah, like a bird's eye view?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you look out from the room, you can see the Temple of Sigmar and the forge. You can also see one or two of the cottages that aren't completely destroyed. One of them in particular has a metal still on its side for brewing alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And then off in the distance to the north of town, which I might give you a little more of the map now, since you're looking from an elevated position, you can see two farmhouses that are still intact on the outskirts to the north, and a gentle upward slope that leads to a rocky levee holding back a lake.
Okay. Does it appear the tracks that we see in the mud are going that direction?
There might be one other part here. You know what? I can give you this part too. Here, take both of those.
Oh, that's the part we need. Yeah, that makes more sense. There we go. Now we're cooking. So here's your two farm. So the levee's over here, and that is, does it appear that's the way the tracks are heading?
The tracks, from up above here, you look around at the tracks that appear to go everywhere within town. You don't see any tracks outside of town.
And it appears to be all about the same size, the footprints? Large. Well, no, I know it's large, yes. But it's not like a bunch of small ones and then big ones.
It is, okay, it is actually, for since you bring it up, it is... There are many large ones, and since it's kind of muddy here, there's large ones, there's human footprints, and all sorts of other small things. Okay. It is a
drag marks.
Do we see all of the above?
Okay,
but the distinct parts are the big paw prints.
So we probably have to.
How big are they?
Let's go a couple feet.
Can a halfling sit in one?
Yeah.
Very good.
You could probably lay down in it.
Yeah, can you lay down in it?
That's not very good at all.
So, now, the paw prints are by where?
They're all, see all these little things? These are all the paw prints.
Oh.
And I wanted to see if they were going that direction towards, this is the levee.
Okay.
And we're here looking at that window, looking that direction.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
The man, the Burgomeister, begins to rock back and forth, shivering and talking quietly to himself.
Does he say anything of interest? I'll jot some of his stuff
down. Can I try to intimidate him?
Before you do that, let me jot whatever he's saying down, just
out of habit. He repeats words frequently.
Okay.
And he constantly is looking over his shoulder at things that aren't there.
Uh-huh.
He can't seem to stop trembling.
What is he saying, though?
Well, he's talking about some kind of attack that occurred. And something about something crashing in the darkness outside his cottage and being absolutely terrified.
Okay.
You don't get much more of him from him other than that.
This appears to be a four-legged thing. Tracks. They're not 2x2.
They're so... all over the place that it doesn't look like it ran linearly through the town.
Well, it's just ramshackled the whole town, but I'm trying to get an idea of what we're up against.
Well, from the second story looking down at just the tracks from here, you can't gather anything else new.
Something bigger than we want to deal with, probably.
I ask him if he can at least point out his cottage from here.
He points towards a wall. Presumably somewhere in that direction is one of the ruined cottages that may have been his.
All right.
Let's go check over at the forge and see if somebody over there might know something.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carla and the Burgomeister are over here still at the inn.
We'll leave them tied up.
Yeah.
For their own safety.
Yeah.
All right. You head back downstairs and head out and walk over to the forge.
I'm taking a drink on the way out.
All right. You both grab a bottle of schnapps.
I want another peach schnapps.
Yes.
All right. Are you popping it open?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, all right, I'm pop it consuming open and take
a
swig. Yes.
It is rather poor quality. But it is technically alcohol.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
And it was free.
Yeah.
It was free.
It has a certain earthy flavor to it.
Okay.
Now, the forge is to the right of the town gates, and the forge is made to the same general plan as the cottages, but is larger and squatter. And to the side of the building, the wide bulge of a furnace tapers outward to a tall flue. And the forge roof is tile in slate, and a pile of chopped logs is stacked in the building's rear, and sounds of hammering and raised voices echo from within. And even as you're standing there walking over, you can see one smaller gentleman running out, picking up a bunch of logs, and hurriedly bringing them back inside. And you can see the flue and the smoke pouring out of the forge is in full force. Like, so someone's working the
fire. These are trying to produce for the something. Fires. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, you guys run yourselves inside and find four individuals.
I just realized your shirt says Apollo.
Yeah, Apollo's prophet.
Yeah, I didn't realize that when we named the horse. What a weird
It was subliminal.
I guess.
All right, there are four individuals here at the furnace. Now, Hugo Schmidt is a large man. He is...
A blacksmith.
Yeah, he is ostensibly the leader of this crew of people here, and this is his forge after all. He's a large, muscular, belligerent man from far off Altdorf, and working the anvil has cursed him with painful joints, which he holds in between swings, and he's hammering away, working the forge, working on a rather strange suit of armor.
Is it dwarf sized?
That's an excellent question.
You can ask him. At first glance, it is not complete. Mm-hmm. So that is yet to be determined.
Do they look coherent now that we've seen people who aren't?
I can kind of lay out a little more of the scene, but since you're focusing in on him here, he appears feverishly focused on working the forge. And since you asked about him, he is almost in such that he's foregoing normal safety concerns and is working the forge hotter and faster, and his swinging of the hammer is a little more reckless than one might expect. Now, nearby him is another man with a couple bottles of schnapps. And he is a middle-aged, fat, short and gruff, heavily bearded and possessed of a nose that looks like a bulbous ripe strawberry.
But he's not a dwarf.
No, he almost could be, but he is a short, fat human, also the brewer of the town. And he has joined in here and is helping out with the blacksmith, debating with him on the validity of the plan that the blacksmith is working on. And they are talking back and forth as Hugo is wanting to build a large spiky suit of armor that they will wear to protect themselves from the beast. Meanwhile, Emil, the brewer, he thinks it would be a fantastic idea instead to take an anvil and raise it up high and drop it on the creature's head. And Hugo is quick to dismiss the idea of all the logistical possibilities that would make that difficult, and the two continue to argue about it. Meanwhile, this younger, thinner man runs in from the outside, carrying another set of logs, and quickly heaves it onto the pile to help the furnace burn hotter and hotter. And off to the side, you see a man, the baker. Bruno Bacher, the baker. He is constantly giving the group words of encouragement. That's a great idea. Well done. Good job getting that. And he kind of does a little sing-song. He's constantly turning things into a tune as the group furiously works on their various plans.
So he's the yes man.
Okay.
Are you going to sing for us?
I might. I just might.
I'm going to walk up to Emil and possibly recommend a new strategy on his peach schnapps. There are a few herbs that I'm familiar with that might actually cut some of this acrid taste that I'm getting here. When you have a minute, I'd love to chat with you about a few strategies.
He's like, who are you?
And then I will set the balance of my drink down next to him and walk away like it's poison.
He says, if we ever get out, survive this monster's attack, then maybe that's something I'll look into, as he kind of shrugs you off.
Well, let's work on said monster. Where do you think this monster is?
Well, Emil says, I only caught a brief glimpse of the monster before I ran and hid. He argues to Hugo, as if this conversation has been going all day, that the monster wasn't some kind of toad. It definitely had horns. And he also points out that during the attack, the monster left his still and brewery completely untouched. So therefore, the monster obviously thinks that the schnapps is poisonous. We should coat the armor in schnapps.
I laugh audibly.
The monster will poison itself when it lashes out with its tongue.
Maybe the monster is offended by the swill you call alcohol.
He scoffs at you, and he seems visibly distraught.
I want to check out the alehouse then, or this, what does he call it? The brewery?
His still, at the brewery?
Yeah, why has it been left intact? I want to go.
All right, you're going to go check it out?
What number are we in here?
That'll be number 4.
So it's across town.
No, it's actually right here. I thought 4 was the temple.
Five's
the temple. Yeah.
So we're at the forge.
Yes, we're at the forge. Yeah. So yeah. Why so would that make sense? Yes. Yeah. To the brewery.
Are you guys leaving the forge?
Well, wait. We really got to figure out what these guys. I don't want this guy to drop an anvil on some.
You know what
he's doing?
I don't really care.
Guys need us. These guys really need us.
I'm with you on that one. I don't. If you want to drop an anvil, have at it.
Yeah, you know, it's not really going to hurt anything.
This
is
like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I mean, come on, we need to help these guys out.
I say, for the record, I think all of you are mad, but we're going to go take a look at your stillhouse.
They ask you, Hugo stops for a brief moment before swinging his hammer again to ask you if you saw the beast.
Did you see the beast?
Well, he admits he only caught a glance of the beast before he panicked and hid from it. He believes that the creature that attacked the village was a massive toad of some sort that lives in the lake to the north of the village. And he thinks it attacked the people with a long, sticky tongue.
A long, sticky tongue.
And where has the monster gone since? And why is this town on fire?
Well, he says the beast attacked the town last night. It's caused utter destruction everywhere. And Kai, the thinner boy here, he says, yeah, I think it was a toad too. I think Hugo's right.
Do you guys have any kind of militia or military, any guards?
The cook says...
Ensign red shirts is kind of what I'm looking for.
The cook says, there's nothing more than those of us here.
Awesome.
But if you go to the still, you can find yourself a beer. Kai asks you what... he says, well, I saw it when I was asleep when it attacked. All I saw of it was the shape rising into the air near the village's Temple of Sigmar. Perhaps, and you're going to get a sense, maybe he's not the smartest guy, but either he was never really in the vicinity of the creature, or maybe he's just not that smart, and maybe that's why he seems more or less unaffected by it.
Hmm. So, where's the beast now?
They all shrug and say, but we're going to be ready when it comes back. But once I finish this suit of armor, we're going to go hunting for it. Or set it. And then Emil says, or we'll set a trap. Hugo says, it's a blasted idea.
Is this the first time it's visited this town?
They all nod.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now when he said it went into the air, was it flying or was it jumping?
Kai says it was flying. Hugo says it was jumping. And
so we have to assume this
Emil
is like
says
a
frog
no like
these
thing.
These knuckleheads don't know anything. I'm skeptical there even is a monster at this point.
Well, there's a lot of footprints and a lot of stuff's been smashed.
Yeah,
and
how
on
would
fire.
That explain the big footprint that we saw? At
I don't know.
Well, Bruno the Baker.
Let's go investigate.
Well, Bruno the Baker suggests that we could. He says, "Well, I've heard that. I think it's a troll." And I've heard that trolls are vulnerable to fire, and therefore we should light it on fire.
Yeah. Where is it? Bruno? Well, fancy pants? Come on.
When did you last see it, Bruno?
He says, well, I peered through the dark and seeing a gaping wound on its flank knit together and heal before my eyes. So that's why I think it's a troll.
What kind of flank did it have? What color was it?
Well, it was green, like a troll.
Hmm.
Are all trolls
or like a toad?
Yeah, right.
And Hugo kind of goes like, like a toad. And then Emil says, no, it had horns.
Like a horny toad.
And then, you know, Bruno says, toads and horn things don't regenerate. It was a troll.
All right, I think I've had enough of these guys, okay. So let's... Yep.
So the question
Kai
is...
Kai wonders where you're going.
Do we want...
To the stillhouse.
What are you going
to
do there?
We're going to go look at it.
He's going to follow.
No, he's not.
He's following.
Which one's following us?
Kai. Oh.
Okay.
The guy that was feeding the fire?
Yes.
The yes man.
No, the yes man's the bigger guy.
Oh, I thought the baker guy was the singer guy.
Yeah, and he loves everybody's plans.
And Bruno says... I think the still is a wonderful idea. Let's go check that out.
Oh, for the love of God.
And he follows. And he says, what are we hoping to find there?
Something to kill.
Something to kill.
Have you not ever been in the still house? What is this news to you?
Well, I just want to know what good plan you have to defeat this creature.
Don't you guys have somewhere you need to be?
Master Dwarf, you are an awfully irritable small fellow.
Who's talking to me?
This is the baker. Oh, they're following behind. And as you walk along to
I just start grumbling underneath my beard.
Whap, crack, Sigmar Silverhammer came down atop his skull. Slap, rap, Sigmar Silverhammer, his brains did and all. As he hums and ditties to himself.
I hurry ahead.
All right. The five of you arrive at the still, which is a small cottage building with an intact brewery still there. And there's a variety.
Does it smell like they have mashed or anything around?
It smells like fermented wheats. It also smells like strong broken bottles of alcohol, but also alcohol a lot here. Of intact ones in various containers that are still in the middle something of the brewing better. Process.
Well, at least it's pure alcohol still.
Can you, like, keep the baker guy away from me? Like, can you, like, sing with him or something?
Sure.
While I try to look around.
Is he offended when she's asking me to take him away?
No. Okay. He's more than
is
happy.
Is he just jolly? Come with me, baker guy.
he's very agreeable.
Okay. Then I will...
He announces words of encouragement to the dwarf before walking away with Madison.
Okay. I can't think with all of your constant chattering and singing. Just go elsewhere.
Dornfin, you make it to the brewery. What are you looking for?
Any sign of some type of creature? Or?
There is no sign of creature. The brewery seems rather intact and unmolested.
What's it smell like?
Schnapps.
Okay. There's really just, like, nothing of note.
A lot of alcohol.
I'm wandering with the baker. We'll head towards the temple.
The temple.
Just see what's going on in there. Because there's only four buildings that are still intact.
Yeah.
There may be something to be said for the fact that there's alcohol in the one building that it was left alone. As for the three, maybe the fire scared it away.
Well, the inn would have had the alcohol, right?
True.
And so then we're left with the forge and...
The temple.
And the temple. So the forge would have had fire, right?
Right. As would the inn, if it were an actual inn with a hearth.
Okay, so let's check out the temple.
So, Gottheim's sizable Temple of Sigmar is a looming stone building topped with an impressive brass dome. Now a distinct green verdigris, which can be spotted from several miles away on a sunny day. This indeed is the structure you saw from further out.
Okay.
Stained glass windows along the sides depict eight different scenes from the life of Sigmar, and they are crudely made but colorful and draw pilgrims and sightseers from miles around. A determined struggle clearly took place outside the temple. Broken bodies are scattered between enormous footprints, and weapons lie abandoned to all sides. The village priestess, headless corpse, lies near the center, her hand still gripping tight to a warhammer. Her head, and one of her boots, is nowhere to be seen. Puddles of stinking, deep purple fluid, viscous and acrid, pool between the corpses and in the oversized footprints. The same purple fluid coats the abandoned weapons and is splashed on the temple's external walls. Half a body hangs from the temple roof, its face a mask of frozen terror.
So I say we don't eat the purple liquid.
Can I, like, I'll find, like, stick nearby or anything?
Sure, you can find, like, a charred piece of wood.
Yeah, like, I'll dip the stick into the viscous fluid to see if it's acidic or anything.
It is particularly noxious.
Like, it smells bad?
Make you want to vomit, yeah.
It has a little bit of a, wouldn't say a sizzle to it, but it has kind of like a little fuming, a fume coming off of it.
And is it like slime?
Yeah, it's a little thick.
Okay. Take a look at
I'd say it's like the consistency of like honey.
Okay.
Take a look at one of the weapons that has been affected by this, and I want to notice if it's been affected all the way around, because we've already been warned about tongue lashes. Mm. Does this appear to be something that, you know, may have wrapped fully around a weapon, or was it just on?
So you're trying to determine like what kind of wounds these weapons were like slashing or like.
Well, I have to assume that whatever left the footprints has made the purple goo. And I want to know if the purple goo is part of the whole tongue thing that we heard about earlier. Yeah, he said.
Make me an intuition roll.
If it looks like, you know, like something licked there, kind of an idea. Like it licked around a sword rather than it just being on the side of the sword.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how we go here.
Oh, yeah, I know everything.
What'd you roll?
10. Right. That's five, four levels of success.
Well, you can't really tell from the coloring and debris left on the weapons, you do get the sense that the purple viscous liquid is probably the creature's blood, and that a lot of these weapons had slashed and cut and had some very formidable battle here in front of the temple.
Okay, so it bleeds purple.
Okay, can we enter the temple?
You may. Now, as you draw close to the entry to the temple, you can hear the laughter of children echoing from within the cold darkness of the unlit temple.
Okay.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So let's,
Are they demonically possessed children?
Does our sixth sense give off anything?
I know. Yes.
You get a constant sense of unease as people here are not with it, emotionally and mentally. In town, in general. You haven't met anybody yet. Maybe except for Kai, who's following you, who seems a little dim-witted, but otherwise normal. Standing in contrast to most of the village, the temple's interior is untouched. A walkway stretching the length of the nave is decorated with a shimmering mosaic depicting Sigmar's hammer, and at the far end of the temple lies a raised dais upon which stands a gray oak lectern. Behind there is a large empty throne left vacant for the prophesied return of the God King to hold back the end times. Three children are playing inside the church. Their noisy game involves racing at top speed in a circle round and round the dais, arms waving as they go, and despite the seemingly aimlessness of their passage, they are clearly enjoying themselves and laughing excitedly. At the dais, hurriedly scratching in a book, stands a woman, scribbling notes in the margins of an illustrated history of the early emperors.
And they're just like calm as can be. Well, I mean, the kids are, but the kids are oblivious as to what's going on outside.
They are
just running around this lady writing in a book.
Yep, and she is furiously writing in the book.
Can I catch a glance at what she's writing?
So you guys approach the group, and she does not even bother to look up as you come in. She is scratching in there, and she's got like kind of, you know, like someone hold a book like this, like her arms are like on top of it, like very protectively. And you see, without getting a good look with her huddling over it, you see there's all sorts of little diagrams and stick figures and notes that she's writing.
Can I, like, I just want to, like, maybe on my tiptoes or something, just, like, peer over. Can I do that?
She kind of guards it and says, "Step back. What do you want? Who are you?"
"Well, I'm merely trying to discern exactly what's going on here."
"I'm coming up with a plan. We got a plan to..."
"Yeah, I've heard 4 plans so far. What's your plan?"
"Well, she wants to keep it secret."
"Maybe I can help you with your plan if you
tell
me."
She like closes up the book and like holds it tight. And she does make several glances at the kids, though.
"Are you going to feed
the
kids?"
Like nervous glances?
"Like, are you going to feed the kids to the monster? Is that the plan?"
"Are you asking that?"
"Yeah."
Make an intuition check.
Intuition. Yeah. 1 success level.
She hasn't so much as said so, but you're pretty sure that's part of the plan. She has a bow and she has several arrows and a quiver, and she looks like she's not too far off from like getting ready to execute a plan.
I tell her I understand the impulse. I look at the kids running around with a little bit of disdain. Can you tell us anything about the monster?
One of the kids blurts out, "It was gigantic and fire-breathing, a turtle." And then the other little girl says, like, "No, no, no, it was a flying mutant beaver. Oh, stranger, it was awesome. The first kid goes, "The turtle came up and snapped up Frau Kenner and bit her into like 17 bits. And then it breathed fire over the nasty Fritz Bauer and burned them all up. Oh, you deserved it, he so did. He was always braying at us for running through his field of wheat. That's so not as naughty, is it?" And then they play tag and like run around again. I've never seen a dwarf. Have you seen a dwarf? No, they're ugly. And they like run around again. What's the other one? There's a skinny dwarf.
That's you.
Do you think they're all dwarves? That one's taller. He doesn't have a beard though.
Scare the crap out of them.
Okay, I'll draw my bow at them. It's like I'm going to shoot at them. Don't call me a dork.
They scream and run and start throwing insults as they like hide behind the pews and other stone structures.
Do we? I know it's loud in here, but can we still hear banging away in the forge?
Yes.
Okay. I was thinking if we can coordinate Big Boy in his new armor and Crazy Lady with kid bait. We'd have more power with us. If we're going to have to go get this thing, the more ents and red shirts we can find, the better.
Let them be the bait.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but the woman never actually answered because the kids were just like blabbing away. So I ask her again, this time directing my questions specifically and visibly to the woman. Did you see the monster?
She is kind of gets forced into a bit of a rage as you begin kind of pressing her, and she begins iterating a plan that she has that is gonna work. She can't see it any other way, and she starts telling you how I'll use the children as bait, and then the creature will come out of its lair.
Where is the lair?
It's up in the craggy hill, deep in the woods, to the north of the village somewhere, I'm sure of it. And she writes in her notes and like points to something, and says, "Yes, that's exactly where they are," and then it'll come out, and then just as it's about to get them, I'll jump up and I'll shoot it and kill it with an arrow.
That sounds great.
You guys
And she says, "Yes. That's it." And then she starts stomping around the room, like kind of reiterating the plan to herself. And
is she like of like Sigmar? I mean, is she like a priestess, or what the hell is she doing in the building at the lectern?
She is not a priestess.
Okay, so she looks like a normal person.
Just by looking at her kind of garb, she's probably the barber surgeon.
Okay.
Oh.
Interesting.
Good lord.
And we met the barber already. Okay.
Because mind you, the priest is outside.
Well, I wasn't sure if she was like another like clergy or whatever they are.
Has the deaths. Well, I think it's pretty clear that there's just some sort of monster roaming around town. Do you guys want to... Do you think we should go travel up to the, you know, lake?
What time of day is it?
It is still midday. Maybe, like, not just a little afternoon.
And judging by from our view of the... from the inn to the... Where we believe the levee and said lake to be, what are we looking at travel time?
10 minutes.
Oh, it's a walk.
This is... The whole region is sent close vicinity.
Okay, in that case, yeah. So we can go now if you guys are cool.
Yeah, yep. Let's do it.
I just don't want to be out there at night. Because if we're going to be out there at night, we might as well wait for it to come back at night again.
True. All right, well, you guys leave the temple and the barber surgeon and the children and her nasty plan and head out to the north of town. Now, you leave north of town passing two still intact farmhouses. Or, I'm sorry, not farmhouses, but barns.
Real quick, before we leave, I stop these two. I'll be right back. I'm going to run back and ask... Crazy guy, what he was thinking about the traps. What were you thinking when you were talking traps earlier for this thing? Where were you thinking about putting those?
So you going back to the blacksmith?
Yeah, just real quick.
All right, so Hugo's armor is starting to take shape. It looks like he wants
That's looking good.
It looks like... Now, it looks good, but you note that it's a little bit shoddily made, and it's going to be made for a human-sized character here, since nobody's asked otherwise. He's built it for himself.
Okay.
Now, it looks... A little bit shoddy, a little dark, and a little rugged. And you just make note in the back of your head that this thing, while really neat and potentially effective, looks a lot like what a chaos warrior or somebody might wear.
Oh.
It's a little disturbing looking, and it's probably future use might be a little strange. Hmm. But nonetheless, it might be effective for today.
Okay.
It's nearing its completion.
Okay.
But you still note that the forge is being furiously worked on, and safety precautions. You notice sparks and little embers and stuff flying off as he's working furiously. And there's an abundance of wood here. Much more than the furnace truly needs.
Is the Kai still bringing the wood
no,
in?
They've been following you guys now, oh, okay. But Emil is helping still keep the thing fully stocked. Okay.
So I'm going to ask Emil what his strategy was for the traps. I'm just curious because I want to keep an eye out when we're out and about.
Well, he explains that he thinks that they should heat up an anvil and then raise it up into the air. And then when the creature walks underneath it, they'll drop it on it.
Okay. You know what? I just forgot. I forgot something. I'll be right back. And I'm out of there. This guy's... I'll come back with you guys. I was thinking he had, like, actual ideas.
So it seems like every single person in this town is, like, obsessed with their individual plan for how to, like, cope with this monster. Mm-hmm. And they're just, like, consumed by it. And the plans don't make any sense, really. They're just, like, half-assed, like, thoughts. So, whatever this thing is, it seems to be preying upon their minds.
So, being a halfling with resistance to chaos is probably a good thing.
Yeah, dwarf power.
Not having a single human amongst us.
That's a pretty good thing, right, all of a sudden. And that's a good question. Have we noticed any non-humans in town?
Nope. This is very much a Even human, bodies? Human farming village.
This is
village.
Just all humans.
Okay. So let's trek on up to the lake.
All right. So you
want to stop by the two
buildings?
Yeah,
so you walk past these two barns. They're both intact. One of them appears empty, but the other one has a small herd of goats. There's about 12 goats in there. And they're still inside. They have yet to escape or be broken out.
And they don't sound spooked or anything like that?
They do.
But
they're still in there.
Might track my head in there and just look.
Tracks we saw in town, are they still around?
Indeed, there is a closed building of 12 goats.
And nothing else in there with them?
Not that you can see. Your dark vision lets you see in there rather well.
Are they bloodied at all, or are they all perfectly intact?
They seem okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, whatever this monster is, it's not hungry.
Well, unless it got full-eaten people.
Yeah, you've also noticed a distinct lack of footprints now that you're outside the palisades of the wall. Okay. Of the town.
So we got to the edge of the Palisades and all these footprints just stopped. Ish.
Yeah. That it like literally went up to the edge, but like the destruction that was caused was
so
inside the city walls.
Either it flew in, landed, and made a ruckus, or it's still in the city.
Well, it wouldn't have smashed the walls down though. I wait, because remember, some of the walls got smashed like matchsticks around the palisades. Unless it landed on me. Why would you want to land on the damn
wall? Well, but there's no footprints around the walls, though.
Not on the outside.
Yeah.
But the front gate is smashed in.
And the wall palisade's been crushed.
Maybe it was trying to get out.
Hmm. But I don't think these people, like, had this thing trapped in their town.
Okay,
they're
so
all scared.
Is there some, like, other... Okay, so I'm thinking if it was in the city to begin with, it was either being stored underground somewhere or in some really giant building. So is there some giant building besides the temple?
Not that's still standing. No, not that. The temple might have been the largest.
Tore it up if he was being like somehow held there.
Right, if he busted out of there.
Right.
So from where you're standing by the two farmhouse barns, you can see the levee up above. And what you notice from where you're standing is two individuals at the edge of the levee, each one with a shovel and one with a pickaxe, furiously trying to dislodge rocks from the levee wall.
They're trying to flood the town.
Huh. There's a large man and a rather frail older woman.
God, these people and their plans.
I know. They're manic. But at this point, it's like not even worth talking to them anymore.
Well, maybe we should stop him from flooding the city, though.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, let's go tie them up, too.
We're going to run out of rope.
Or I can just drop them from here.
Well, bring your rope. Come on. Let's go.
All right, you guys walk up to the levee?
Yeah, we can't have these guys flood the town.
So there's a small, fast-flowing brook called the Mulbach, which lies to the east of Gottheim, and two old flour mills are situated next to the stream with their large water wheels turning constantly from the current. And the source of that brook is this large lake that lies on higher ground further to the north. And the lake is banked up with a pile of stones and earth, which directs that flow of the brook. Now you see these two individuals up there, and they've made their way up to that levee, attempting to pull it down. And Gerd and Maria are talking to each other up there. And Gerd seems to be directing Maria with what to do, indicating that's a rock to pull. Grab that one, and Maria says, "Oh, absolutely, I'll do that." And she shoves her shovel in, trying to pry out these rocks. And Gerd is a large, heavy-set man with a broken nose and a truculent attitude, and he's missing most of his left ear. Uh-oh. And Maria is a short, elderly lady with a shock of curly red hair that's turning silver, and her easy smile reveals jostling snaggle teeth. The baker chimes in and says, "Oh, Maria, there you are. You survived. My aunt, good to see you." And she looks up at him kind of with a glazed look. She doesn't fully appear to be coherent.
Hmm.
Bruno instructs her to get back to work. Gerd instructs her to get back to work. We need to flood the town as soon as possible. We can flood the creature out. And she gets back to work.
I asked them, what did the creature look like by your accounts?
Well, Gerd stops for a brief moment to look up at you and explains tearfully that he shamefully fled when the monster attacked the village. And as he did, he thinks he saw the attacking creature stalk through the darkness before taking off from the Temple of Sigmar. He thinks it flew out to the village and then landed again in the stone circle.
Where's the stone
circle? Yeah, where's
Have we seen a stone circle?
No.
We have not seen a stone circle. Okay.
But he says it's in the village.
No, he says it flew out of the village and then went to the stone circle. So he reasons he has to flood the stone circle and quickly before the monster flees.
Yeah.
Where's the circle at?
He gestures more or less to the south where you are from your... It would be on the map there, the unrevealed...
Down here?
No, the unrevealed section over there. Yeah, in a copse of woods there.
Okay. Oh, so they're trying to make it flood this way.
Yeah, but you can quite clearly see from where you're standing that is not the only place that's going to get flooded.
Okay.
The town of Gottheim
is going to be flooded.
Utterly destroyed.
We can't have that happen.
Would it be all right if we secured you folks?
Gerd puts his arms up like the picture, holding his pickaxe in one arm, uh-huh, and says, "Absolutely not." And well, Maria says, "That's right, absolutely not."
Mm-hmm. Do you really want us to do this the hard way?
He seems a little far too gone to see reason.
All right, let's just tie him up, both of them, to each other. I don't care.
Yeah, we can't have him.
Okay. Guess we're gonna tie him up.
What does Bruno think about us talking to these two and Kai? Are they just kind of hanging out?
Kai's just kind of following you about. Bruno is he is the nephew of.
That's what I was thinking. If we can just have him take Maria home, why don't you just take Maria home?
He says he'd love to, and he says, "Maria, come, let's go back to the bakery or what's left of it," and takes her hand. To which point, Gerd pushes him aside forcibly and stands in.
Unless you want to lose that right ear, you better let him take his aunt on home.
Well, now the baker doesn't have any plans of his own, and neither does Kai. They don't have plans.
They've been listening to your sensible conclusions.
Bruno has been yesing all the ideas.
I know, but he's not obsessed with anything on his own.
Well, I would say he's more obsessed with whatever our plan seems to be at this point. Both of them are.
Yeah, just like that's a break in the pattern a little bit. Anyway, okay. So the two, are they neutralized? Or are we?
I don't know where we stand on that. I
guess Gerd is preventing you from taking Maria away.
Gerd.
Okay, well then just tie him up then.
Yeah.
Now are you going to forcibly go in there? Are you going to try and grapple him?
Yeah.
Does he appear to be gone like everybody else is gone?
Yeah, he's singularly focused on dismantling this levee.
Okay.
Who's going to go in there and restrain him?
I'll attempt to do it.
Yeah.
Let's do a opposed strength check.
Ooh. What? My strength test?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I failed.
That's how much he failed, too, what? So you might have failed worse. But he's a minus 5.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm only at minus 4?
Hey, there you go. You get in there, and you guys grapple and wrestle. It's a mess. You're flopping around on the mud. He's a big, thick, large man. You're a nimbly elf. And it's a mess. It looks like you're both complete fumbling it. But ultimately, you do subdue him into the mud and begin to tie him up. At which point, Bruno, the baker, is able to take Maria off to the side and talk to her. And she seems to be a little more coherent now. Uh-huh. And she's having conversations again and suddenly isn't so singularly focused.
I'm going to pay attention to Dornfin and see if he changes at all, just being in Gerd's presence.
You feel fine.
Okay.
But Gerd is complaining.
Okay, I'm going to threaten him with my bow that if you attempt to cause this dam to come down, this is going through your skull.
All right, he's still squirming. As if he's trying to dismantle small rocks with the hands that he can behind his back. Like he's digging like a flopping fish.
Okay.
He's not making much progress, but he's still squirming and trying.
Okay, I mean, but he is, are his like, his hands are tied now?
Yes. But they're just, even restraining him, he's still trying.
That's fine, he can keep trying.
Maria, on the other hand, seems to have calmed down quite a bit and is listening to reason.
Hmm. Okay. Well, now that she's a little more lucid, can she... Okay, let me test it. I ask her about the monster, what happens to her.
Well, she says that she saw the monster... Well... She didn't exactly see it. Well, Gerd saw it and told me what he saw. I didn't actually see it. But Gerd, I've trusted Gerd for a long time. He said this was the best way.
So nobody in this town's ever actually seen this thing.
Haven't they?
It seems not.
I didn't see it. I just heard about it. It sounds terrifying.
Where were you before you came up here?
I just heard it, but admittedly, I don't hear that well, so I didn't see it either. I just saw what happened afterwards.
Which was what?
And she kind of points out across the valley of the destruction of the town.
Is it possible there is no monster and that the people of the town did this to themselves?
I don't think so. Because the footprints and the crushed wall and the smashed door.
Doug wasn't around for the other adventure with the fake footprints, was he?
No.
That would be a bit much. The purple goo. I think we might want
to check out whatever this circle is. Remember the guys who made the fake footprints to make it look like a monster killed people?
Yeah. Basically, it's happened before. All right, I think we should go to the stone circle, too.
Okay.
Now, as you turn to move towards the stone circle, which you can see faintly within the woods, like from this, you can't see it from the town, but from up here, you can look down on it and see it partially obscured by the woods. And but what you also see is the smoke billowing from the blacksmith. The blacksmithery has caught on fire.
Cool. See, only lending itself to my theory that they did it to themselves. Their manic state is their own destruction.
You see one individual running out of the blacksmith building on fire before collapsing into the mud. Not wearing a suit of armor.
That was my next question.
Yeah. Shall we keep going?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, to the stones?
To the stones. I mean, we're not firefighters. It's not that we can do about that. Yeah.
I don't have anything.
And I don't really care. I'll let it burn. Right. But why not?
I have no tie to this town or the people here. I'm mostly just curious for curiosity's sake at this point.
Also, so now as you're working your way down the path, coming out of the northern edge of town, you also spot Martha, the barber surgeon, leading three children out towards the similar direction as you're going.
Oh, towards where we're going. Okay, cool.
So like you're coming in from the north, she's coming in from the west, but you do appear to be generally going in the same direction.
Okay. I'd like to try to intercept her.
Yeah, let's.
Oh, really?
Why not?
Why don't we try to get there before she does?
Yeah.
That's okay. Try to ambush.
You arrive at a small circle of short red Ogham stones standing just east of Gottheim. The place is sacred to the old faith, and fertility rites would often be performed here each spring. You see here several more of the footprints, and they clearly lead to a spot, which we'll get into in a moment. The creature seems to have landed here after fleeing the village, and its heavily shuffling tracks head along a narrow, muddy forest path into the trees. More of the creature's filthy purple blood is splashed everywhere.
Do you hear anything?
Who here has keen hearing?
I have no.
Or anything, anything of the hearing variety.
I have perfect pitch, which means I can hear.
I have really big ears.
No, I have good sense of sight.
The baker and Kai follow you. Mm-hmm. Also, Emil is dead.
Wait.
He burned alive.
He's the one who burned alive. Man.
And you don't know the fate of Hugo in his armor.
I don't have any particularly keen sense of hearing. My perception's good.
Let's see. This guy's all tied up. Put him over here. And Martha is following you as well.
Okay.
So... You see a path of blood and footprints leading off through the bushes and trees. You also see Martha and the children walking a slightly nearby path heading in your direction.
How much rope do you have?
Do we want to take her down or do we want to let her help kill the monster.
She's not going to be of any help.
Well, she's got a bow and any, arrow. Yeah, any bow and arrow, I mean, hitting it in addition to what we're doing.
She'll hit us before she hits the monster.
Yeah, but at least it's going to be well fed. I mean, she's got bait.
Yeah, that's true.
The kids are shits.
I know. I'm not even opposed to you using
this bait. I kind of like her plan well more than the plan.
To keep it at a distance to where we can just lay into it.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're up against, but it looks big.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that too. And it can apparently fly.
What if we... Flies. What if we... Has she seen us yet?
No. It looks like she's going to probably... If you don't intercept her, it looks like she's going to bypass you and head down the path.
I will sit quietly in the bush.
Yes, me too. Let's just let her do it.
Let her pass her by.
Yep. All
right.
Let's see what happens.
So she passes by. Now, are you going to get
close? Are the kids making noise, being rowdy, or are they behaving?
They're,
or?
Like, snickering and insulting each other and otherwise following along.
They don't know what they're being led to.
They have no idea they're being led to their death.
All right.
It's all right. They're too dumb.
Are you
going to...
So I'd like to know, are you going to position yourself such that you can see what happens?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I will actually arm my sling as well.
Yes, I will be at the ready with my bow, obviously.
Okay.
And I'm going to shoot something.
What are the three of you instructing Kai, Bruno, and Martha to do, as they are quite distraught and interested in saving the life of these four people, as they are fellow townspeople of theirs?
Oh, they are? I tell them to go on and brush ahead. Go save her!
Go! More bait!
They need saving! Go!
Martha, none of them are willing to go, as they seem rational enough not to throw themselves, but Martha does call out to... I'm sorry, Maria does call out to Martha... telling her to wait.
I'll elbow her as she, like, calls out.
Okay.
Bruno, I thought I told you to take her home.
Her groan, and the old woman kind of... and she's struggling to breathe as she kind of copes with the hardy dwarf thud. Kai seems to be a little nervous. And the baker begins to sing himself a little song. You know, muffin man. At which point then Martha and the children continue along, and she begins to tell them to go and see the cave up ahead. That's the cool house where we store the ice in the winter, you know. And she says, Go and make sure that the coast is clear. I've got you covered. And she pulls out her arrow, and you can tell she's, like, not super capable with the arrow, but she's got it. Like, and she seems confident.
Okay.
And the children are, like, reluctantly, but kind of, like, snarkily, like, okay. They're going. They're moving up ahead.
Mm-hmm. Into the cave.
Towards the mouth of the cave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, describe to me. Like, the cave, there's a clearing outside the cave, and then there's bushes and trees and things. Like, how are you guys situated around the area?
Is it possible to... I'm wondering if it's possible to sneak into the cave without the kids seeing us.
At this point, not really.
No.
I will just position myself near a tree, preferably something with a bush next to it, where I can kind of just slink down and hide, keep an eye on the opening.
You know, historically, we've had a lot of success with people climbing trees.
Yeah, but for somebody who uses a two-handed staff sling, it really wouldn't make any sense to climb a tree. I can't, then they're no longer offensive. I can't shoot from that elevated position in a tree. All right. Want to be able to be at least somewhat helpful.
Dornfin, what are you doing?
I'm going to be standing next to a tree, but kind of hiding behind the tree, as it's a shield between me and...
I like it.
A thing, and readied with the bow for something to come out. And
at the last moment, I have what I can only describe as an inopportune bout of conscience. So I'll go stand next to the barber surgeon and kind of like ready my weapon.
Now, I'm going to... Pull GM here for you a second, too. Didn't you give a bunch of people you killed earlier your oath to do something?
Yeah, but they died.
But you gave your oath. So what was the oath that you gave?
That I'll get the monster. Like, that I'll kill whatever is bothering them.
Okay. You, as a dwarf, are still honor-bound to your oath, even if the people you gave it to. You gave it in good faith still to yourself.
Okay.
So however you want to deal with that part. I can't remember word for word what you said now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I pledged to get rid of whatever was causing them hurt.
Yeah, well, you are still determined to do that.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're doing?
Yep, okay, just making sure. All right.
That's why I'm standing next to the barber surgeon.
Does she even
notice me?
She says, oh good, you'll help in my plan.
Sure will.
And she kind of slinks off to the side to, like, hide in one of the bushes with her bow ready.
Where are you going?
She says, once it eats one of the children, then I'm going to shoot.
Once it eats one of the children.
Once it's distracted.
I'll stay where I am, I guess.
All right. Dwarf out in the open. Everything else is hidden. What's the baker, Kai and Martha, instructed to do? Maria, sorry.
Do they have any kind of weaponry at all?
Sure, the baker's got a mallet. Or a rolling pin, rather. And Kai's got an improvised weapon. He's got, like, a log.
Wow. I can give him a dagger.
Martha's still got her shovel.
I can give him a dagger, but...
Sure.
He's going to have to get real close to that thing.
He takes it, but he's holding it, but, like, he's not a combatant. He's holding
it
a little bit awkwardly.
Oh,
never mind. And I'm going to take it back from him then if he does that. No. You don't need that. You'll hurt yourself.
Yeah. And Martha holds her shovel. She seems determined to defend her town.
All right, we're ready.
Yeah, I think it's time. Right. Can I ask Kai to help Bruno take Maria home?
Yeah.
They don't need
just,
to be here.
Yeah, you just
These
need
guys
to go.
Don't need to be here. They're not fighters. I mean, other than getting eaten... The only thing we can do is save their lives if Bruno and Kai can take her home.
So
you Bruno, know, go bake us a victory pie. That's what you should do.
Are you sending? You're sending all three of them back?
Yeah, I don't think we need them.
Do we need him singing this whole time when we're trying to fight? Whatever's
no,
because
it might be distracting.
You hear him hum a little tune of victory that is undoubtedly some ballad he'll sing later on about your battle. Now the cool house. Is a cave in the woods not far from the Red Ockhamstone Circle. In winter, villagers would collect ice from the surface of the lake and pile it deep into the back of the cave. And during warmer months, they bring milk and cheese and meat here to keep it cold. Now, the beast's tracks lead straight into the wide cave mouth. And approaching the cave, Bernie, you can hear the strange, burbling noise made by the creature as it rests.
Is it cute?
We haven't seen it yet.
No, is the noise cute?
No, it's burbling and horrendous and large. It's sleeping. And the kids descend into the cave.
Okay.
Can we see it? I'm assuming we can see into the mouth of the cave.
Yeah, it curves just enough so you can't actually see the interior. Like, even though you can see into the dark. All three of you can. Then you hear it awake. You hear the children scream. You hear a series of wet, tearing sounds. And then the creature stomps and sloshes. And Siri, I don't... Not that kind of series.
You said series.
and a hideous monster from within the cave is revealed to you.
How hideous?
I actually made and painted a model of this.
Ooh!
Is it cute?
It's...
It is cute.
Aww, he's adorable.
Nice.
It is what is called a Jabberslife.
Jabberslife.
Now, this terrible monster, it is a horrendous beast, shaped somewhat like a squat and flabby dragon. Its bilious green skin hangs in flaccid folds, and a pair of tatty, undersized wings flutter upon its spined and dark, hairy back.
So this thing's griffin size?
Yes, actually.
To be fair, this is pretty much a combination of every descriptor we got from the townspeople.
They were all kind of right. Uh-huh.
It pulls itself forward on an assortment of limbs, four at the rear being almost vestigial, like those of a massive but withered insect. Its two front legs are powerful, muscular, tipped with snatching claws, and its massive scaled head is bedecked with curling horns, biting pointing teeth, and protruding amphibian eyes of flame. It roars and charges Bernie.
Cool.
Oh, I'm shooting.
I will launch.
Yep. So, this beast appears mildly wounded already.
Okay.
Can we tell where it's hurt?
It's a little bit of all over the place. Okay. Its wings are in tatters. It looks like some of its wounds have already partially healed, as you see some kind of newer skin knitting together some still somewhat gaping wounds.
So I was ready for it, so as it charges me, can I go ahead and, like, wheel? Like, I want to, like, spin myself in a circle and then, you know, like, with...
Oh, like a mega
with
attack.
With my Warhammer so that I can crush it when it comes near me.
Yes. However...
Mm-hmm.
It is coming towards you, and it's got some things it gets to do here. So first things first, let me see, does it have any kind of terror or anything else? Oddly enough, no. But at the start of every round,
mm-hmm.
everybody within 20 yards of it, which is everybody,
mm-hmm.
must make a plus 20 cool check.
A plus 20, like we're less scared of it?
Yeah.
Yep.
I only need to know if you fail.
I neutral out.
You're neutral. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally
so
to the zero.
Or a success, I mean.
My cool is 51.
And so... you roll a 73, so you fail.
Oh.
Well, that's before the 20.
Wait, we get 20? Oh, then I'm good.
Yeah, positive 20.
Yeah, I get positive 20.
So she would have to be with
71. Or yeah.
And you roll 73?
Yeah.
Okay, so you failed. You...
Don't I neutral?
Yeah, I thought the second dice doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, it does for success levels, it doesn't. But like for, you know, an actually determining a success failure, which is what this is. This is a simple test of did you succeed or failure.
We've never done it this way before.
Usually, most of the tests we do involve success levels. That's called a dramatic test. A simple test is whether you just succeed or fail.
Yeah.
And that can go all the way down to the point if necessary. So even a neutral, though, is still a failure in that regard.
Hmm. Okay.
You fail by 3 points. So I need you to roll a d10. If failed, you roll on the creeping irrationality table.
7.
Who said I was paranoid? You become the subject to animosity towards a random character in the party. Let's see, we have her and you two.
And the kids.
Who are slimy goo on the walls of the cave now. Okay. And hanging out of tatters inside of his mouth. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Alright, you have animosity towards Doug.
Towards Maddie.
For the next hour. So that means you two hate each other.
No, I hate her.
Yes, and that is not necessarily reciprocal. Thank you. That's a good description.
Okay.
Okay. Otherwise,
we shoot his
otherwise
hand.
The turn continues as normal.
This thing.
Okay. I need some initiative rolls though. So what is?
Okay.
Well, I already know you go first.
Wait,
Yeah.
Do I get to smash it or not?
It is not close enough for you to smash yet. So there's one round of stuff that happens in between then first.
Okay.
Unless you want to run in it on your turn.
I want to be getting this thing at the furthest point in which I can get it. From.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's see. Let me get a turn sequence here. We've got... I know that Doran Finn is going to go first because he's got crazy initiative. What's your initiative, love?
40.
All right. Do you guys care who goes first?
Nah.
Bernie wants to do stuff here, so let's go Bernie. And then we got Maddie. And then we've got... The creature is actually rather slow and lumbering, so it'll go last. And then Martha will go in the fourth place. All right, Dorinfin, you are up first. Now, this creature is large. You probably get some bonuses to hit it.
Yeah, that's why I asked about if it was griffin size.
Mm-hmm. It is of the enormous variety.
Okay.
then. Oh yes! Wow. Okay. So.
Oh my God.
No.
He literally doubled his seven.
How close are you to it? You're in the woods on the outskirts.
We're right
of it.
By yeah. this tree. So however.
Yeah, I'm about a quarter inch. At the okay. furthest point I could be from it.
Okay. Yeah, you're actually you don't suffer this penalty then. You're okay.
Okay. So then. Wow. So the success levels on that, we're looking at 19 damage.
19. All right. So that's going to miss 8. So you knock it for 11 points of damage. Damn.
Does it show like, wow, that hurt?
It
or does it just take
it like penetrates directly and it's a solid hit. Like that would fell a man in one go.
And it just kind of stands there.
It absorbs it. And you can see this a spout of purple ichor like plop out and sizzle onto the ground.
I take that back. It would be one more off
one
of
more
the,
than that?
The penetrate for the success level.
All right. Got it. Bernie. All right. It is charging at you. It is not on you yet, so you could either charge into combat with it or let it come to you.
I'll charge.
All right. Charging gives you an advantage. Let's give Bernie the advantage. And Dornfin, don't forget you got an advantage.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, and that gives me a plus 10?
Plus 10, yep. All right. And don't forget you have plus 10 from your hammer.
Mm.
All right. Now we're looking for success levels.
It doesn't matter.
He rolled 2.
Yeah. Okay. I'm at like -3.
You also find this monster particularly difficult to swing at. It has this terrorizing aura about it as you close in on it and get close to it. All attacks within its vicinity are going to be at -20.
Okay.
So whatever you rolled is an additional -20.
Oh, then I'm at -5.
Okay. You swing and a miss. The creature barks and burps and toads and growls at you all at once into some strange noise.
Uh-huh.
Its little chittering claws are reaching out towards you. Maddie.
Loose.
Uh-oh.
I missed. And I fumbled.
And you fumbled. All right, you send it off in the middle of nowhere. Let's not forget, though, that we get... What's the bonus for shooting an enormous creature?
Oh, yeah. So you would add 40 to your
bonus. Oh, yeah,
40.
I'm good.
And Layla, you also have that, which I don't want to forget.
I didn't know that that was part of it. I get plus 4.
Oh, well, then I'm only -1.
Okay, so miss nonetheless.
Then I have one full level of success.
So I'm sorry, Jay, it's plus 4, 40?
Plus 40.
Okay, I'm just going to make a note on here.
For a griffin-sized creature.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the size category enormous?
No, it's griffin size.
Okay, but I think griffin was in that.
Yeah, there was either ogre size or griffin size.
Okay.
Oh, and then there's giant size that would have been plus 60.
No, I'm pretty sure this was... I'm pretty sure it had a... When I was reading enormous, but that was the size.
In that case, 9 damage.
9 damage. You hit it for a whopping 1 point.
Sorry, guys.
Dink.
That's kind of funny.
Better than I did.
All right. Martha fires off her bow.
Nice, Martha.
It's a solid hit. A solid hit that's going to result in 1, 2 regular bow damage.
Strength bonus plus 4.
6, 7. She does it for 9 damage as well, hitting him for 1. All right, Jabberslythe. It's already in combat with Bernie, so it is going to... Oh, Bernie, you lost your advantage when you missed your attack. It is going to bite at Bernie.
Can I parry?
You may.
Is that different than just melee?
So you can choose to dodge, parry, or use your melee skill. Whatever one's highest you would want to use to
Where would... Oh, okay. Dodge. My melee is better than dodge. Just by 1 point, though.
Don't forget your hammer is going to help you out here, too. So that gives you plus 10 to your roll. If you use your weapon skill.
Okay.
All right, it lashes out at you for an 06 with a positive 4. You have minus 20 to your rolls.
Why?
Because you have minus 20 because of his
scary aura.
Horrendous aura. And then you have plus 40 for him being really large in size.
So a net of minus 20.
Okay. Minus 20, and then I get plus 10 just for my weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at minus 10.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess if you kind of just do all the math, it'll consistently be minus 10 for you.
Okay, so I'm at minus 3.
Minus 3, and he's at plus 4, so that's 7 becomes... Bernie, you take a hit for 16 points of damage.
Jesus!
Whoa.
Did she just die in front of us?
Well, we have armor, and we have toughness to mitigate that.
Okay, so my...
And you have a shield.
I have a shield, so what does that give me?
So here, you get hit in the arm. Your left arm.
My left arm has one armor point, so that's 15. And then my strength...
Toughness.
My toughness is 39.
Okay, so that's 3 more.
So,
and then you have a shield for 1 more.
And my shield is strength bonus plus 2.
Okay, so you mitigate 6 points of damage from that then. If you added all those numbers up together.
Okay, so 13 points.
Yep, so you take... So he did 16 to you.
Oh.
And so you take 10 wounds.
Okay.
And then he takes... One advantage.
Ow.
And now, hold on. He has attacked you and has... he is infected. So I need you to make me a endurance check. Or a toughness check, if you like it. Let me see, where is it? Acid blood. Let me look up acid blood real quick.
Oof. It's not great.
Did you fail?
Yeah.
You gain what is called a festering wound.
Mm.
So we'll just make note of that for a moment here. I don't think I have that handy. I'll have to look that up while we're going here. But we're at the top of a new round. I need everybody to make a plus 20 cool check. Oh, yeah.
I pass.
Everyone's golden?
Yep.
4 successes.
All right. The horrors of the Jabber Slythe are not affecting you any further this round. And Dorinfin, you are up.
Okay. So that's a successful hit at 3 success levels. So that's going to be 14 damage.
14 minus 8 is 6, so he's up. All right, he takes another hit, dropping little gouts of blood onto the ground. Bernie, you are up face to face with the creature.
I'll swing at him again.
All right, you are at a net of a minus 10 to your roll.
Man.
How'd you do?
At minus 10, it is going to be minus 2 successes.
Are we doing the math there? Is it plus 10? He's plus 40 to hit.
Okay.
Plus 50 with the hammer.
Right.
And then it's minus 20.
Because she's
aura. Plus
30.
Aura. 30. She's a plus 30.
Plus 30.
Plus 30.
Plus 30.
At that point, yeah.
Okay, plus 30 to your roll. I'm not sure what we did last time for the math.
Well, it should be backwards, shouldn't it? Negative 30? Because the advantage is to the roll.
So there's...
Because he's easier to hit because he's bigger.
Yes.
Right.
So plus
so
is really minus.
Plus...
So it's plus 30 means subtract 30 from your roll, and that's where you got, where you landed.
The Jabber Slythe is large, which means he's very easy to hit.
Right.
So you add...
You add the 40 to your roll.
Yeah, but you're but to get a success level, you're rolling below your skill.
So you're adding it to, you're adding to your target.
Oh, to the skill. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so if your skill was 50 and you got plus 40 to your roll, your skill is now 90.
So she's plus 30, so what's your skill?
I have melee 46.
So you're 76
would be the number you're shooting for.
So you have 2 success levels.
It would have worked out the same either way.
Well, then I would have hit him last turn.
I think I somehow did the math way wrong.
Well, I also might not have taken as many wounds either.
Let's backpedal that one combat then, and you hit him for the...
Right, so what's his damage?
Yeah, I want to redo that one part because that's significant for Bernie. Let's rewind the time just for a moment. His Yeah, I hate doing this, but I think we need to. Okay, Bernie, round one combat. Let's redo that between the two of us. You are attacking him in his first round.
With a plus 30 to your roll.
Do you want this to count or not? Like, can I just keep my...
Oh, sure. Yeah, do you want to keep that roll? Okay. Well, that's actually great for you then. If you're swinging at him, he's at a minus 5.
Okay, so plus 30, you said, to my skill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would put me at a plus 2 success.
Okay, and then his difference of a negative 5 makes a spread of 7.
Okay.
7 success levels.
7 success levels, strength bonus is 4, that's 11, plus, or, plus 5, so...
16,
whatever 15, that just 15. Added up to, yeah.
15 or 16?
16.
1-6, yeah.
Okay, so that does do significant damage. Okay, then he had countered back, so you get to keep that advantage.
Okay.
He countered back to attack you, so he rolled a success level of 2. You still get plus 30 here.
Actually, plus 40, right? Because now she's got the advantage.
Good call.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so I'm at plus 3.
Plus 3. All right. He
nice.
Misses you, so that attack, that round where you got hit and got the infectious wound does not occur.
Okay, great.
Sorry for the confusion there. That sucks. It's confusing. Jay then shot the nasty arrow in. Now it is Bernie's second round of combat.
And I keep
creature.
My advantage?
Yes.
You do.
Okay.
I do,
Would
however...
she not have gained a second one by successfully defending against his attack?
Yes. Go ahead and take that. When you wound him, something does happen to you. So hold on a second. There is acid blood flying about.
Whoa.
Ooh. Gross.
Acid blood is not awesome.
Just the name makes it not
awesome.
She's
playing with it with a stick.
See, what's her
I know.
I know, right?
It's called corrosive blood. Let's see here. It is corrosive blood. Every time the creature is wounded, which you did... And this is going to happen more and more now that Bernie's in combat with the arrow. This actually happens when Dorinfin's arrow flies in as well, so we're going to do this twice.
Uh-huh.
Blood splashes free, and all targets engaged with it, which is you, take 1d10 wounds, modified by your toughness and armor points.
Ew.
To a minimum of 1.
Do I roll the d10?
I'm the monster. I'm going to do it. Here's the first one. You take 10 wounds minus your... minus your toughness and your armor.
Okay, armor to
and it
what?
Hits you in the chest.
Minus 3, body minus 2, so minus 5.
And your shield.
And your shield is another 5, so you're offsetting 10 already.
So I'm okay.
Okay, so it's a minimum of 1.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you're, okay, so you have a ton of, what is it, your toughness 4,
mm-hmm.
and then...
Yeah.
And then 3 and then 2, so you're offsetting 9, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you take 1 more from the second round, from the second shot that you just did to him, as you wound him and take...
Okay, so minus 2
yes.
so far? Okay.
And unfortunately, because you got blood all over you and took damage, you lose your advantage.
Both?
Yeah, you lose all advantage when you take damage.
What?
Okay, sorry for that total cluster, but I've got this guy under control now. Maddie.
Go. Do this. Okay. We said plus 4, right?
Yep.
So even. Actually, 1 success level.
1 success level. It does hit him. All right.
So 1 plus 9.
9. All right. You hit him. Bounces off of him, causing a small amount of damage, and blood squirts
Sorry.
All over Bernie.
She hates
for
me. For anyway.
1 damage.
It's okay.
You were just covered in purple ichor like Slimer from Ghostbusters.
You know, it is after this that I'm definitely going to want some armor.
Yeah.
Now, this is upsetting. I mean, don't forget, bro, this is the accursed halfling who's causing this.
Oh, no, I know. I'm pissed.
Alright.
Can I go into some sort of rage mode? Does that help me?
We don't have
reckless in this.
There
edition.
Is something called frenzy. Like you could, I mean, you could. Frenzy is.
I'm gonna take out all the anger that I feel towards Maddie on the monster.
How do you want to interpret that in game rules? What do you have envisioned here?
Pull out the blunderbuss, stuff in its mouth,
uh-huh.
and
pull
the
trigger.
See what happens.
If that's not the killing blow, it needs to be.
All right. Well, the Martha fires another arrow, hitting it for one more point of damage.
That girl.
Like, I don't know. Can it give me, like, intimidate or something? Like, I'm just, like, I'm berserking, basically.
I mean, give me some, I'm into it. So give me some, like, give me a little bit of role-playing oomph behind it, and I'll give you a plus 10 to all your rolls.
I'm basically moving swifter and more powerfully than I ever would normally. Like, I'm just, you know how all the townspeople were just, like, tunnel vision with their plan? I'm the same way, but my tunnel vision is just to, like, wipe the floor with this monster.
Is your oath, like, backing you at all?
Yeah, sure.
Channel your husband through his hammer.
Yeah, your hammer, like, ignites as the rune of smiting.
Yeah.
Like,
it starts to glow.
Yeah. So can that give me, like, a plus something?
Maybe a plus 10.
Okay.
I'm into it.
So now I'm back at plus 40.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not your turn.
Yeah.
The creature is going to lash out at you with its, you know what? Dorinfin. The creature kind of lifts itself up on its four legs and opens up its maw, and you see this, like, gurgling, fleshy, glossy thing in its throat.
Oh, cool. I'm leaping out of the way.
At which point,
I'm out of here.
Like a chameleon, its tongue flies out at you with this barbed, nasty, gross, slimy thing, and it shoots out like lightning.
Can I use my athletics to get out and dodge it?
You can try. You rolled a 2.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, crap.
Oh, that's a pretty
okay.
good 2.
I got a success level.
Well, we got to compare this now. He got 3 success levels.
I got a success level of 5. Take your advantages, right?
All
right,
you slide behind the tree.
You're like me.
As the tongue, like, yeah. as this nasty tongue wraps around the tree that you're hiding behind, and he pulls the entire tree forwards, not like out of the ground, but breaks it in half
Good
as it
Lord.
Crumbles down, and you dodge out of the way, but it splinters and things are flying. And then, since it missed, it doesn't have any further attacks. That's a bummer. all right, Dorinfin, you're up. As you recover from the broken tree pile.
Oh, Dorinfin.
No, that's still a success.
Really?
I can't miss.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, I couldn't miss from... Once I got the first one, I couldn't miss.
Wow,
okay. Did you use the other one because you dodged him?
Yeah, no, I already added that one,
added
so...
It, okay.
And this success,
only in opposed
so,
rolls, I think, can you get advantage.
Okay.
So dodging it, I didn't gain the extra one? I mean, it's still a success, but...
Am I right with that? Is it only on...
Then how do I get advantage by using my sling?
That's what I'm looking at right now. I'm wondering if on shooting attacks, maybe you can't, but that's probably not right. Advantage. Advantage. Gain it, attacking, charging, gain a plus one advantage. Let's see. You gotta determine... Defeating an opponent, winning an opposed test, wounding an opponent without engaging.
There you go.
Okay, so
that's
you,
a slingshot.
So when you wound the opponent, not hitting them, but wounding them successfully.
Even though I'm only doing 1 point,
which
it's a wound.
Yeah,
okay, so then
even though he's doing 16.
Yeah, I'm at a success level of 3.
Okay.
So that's doing 13 damage.
13. Okay, Bernie.
Yeah.
Tell me about the songs you're singing and the creatures you're slaying and the husbands you're avenging.
Yeah, I'm just like tunnel vision, want to kill this thing.
Oh, but you wounded it again. Hold on, Bernie. You got covered in blood again for 1 point of damage. As your armor continues to drip and slip. Your boots are having a hard time now gaining footing.
It's just this angry little
boot. Yeah.
All pissed off, covered in purple.
Yeah. Icker, just like gross crap. Oh, that's a good one.
There it is.
So
I really wanted this thing to eat you guys.
So I'm at plus 6.
Minus 4.
Nice.
So that's plus 10.
Nice.
That's 19 points of damage.
19, that's a solid freaking hit.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of our bigger
that's
hits so
effing
far.
It up.
33 minus, you said 8 with 13, making it a 20. The creature, oh, we didn't, I need a cool check from everybody this turn. Plus 20.
Oh, yeah.
I am no longer cool.
I'm cool.
You failed?
I failed. By failed. Two.
Dougie, give me a d10.
Seven.
Seven. You are paranoid. Doran.
I'm standing right next to him. Lovely.
You are paranoid for the next 6 hours of Doran.
You can also hear as I'm attacking under my breath, you can hear your name every so often as I just like grumble and like rumble.
Actually, it translates to animosity. So animosity, yeah. you suffer animosity towards Doran Finn.
Like I'm disliking him for 6 hours.
You hate everything about him for the next 6 hours.
Okay.
Everything he does you disapprove of and you are otherwise unagreeable and
yeah, you can hear me like recount some of your more just like annoying like traits and habits as I just like swing away.
In that case, singing, since I'm frustrated with him, I will find another tree. I'll stay equidistant. I wanna stay within range of the monster, but at the same time I don't wanna be near him. I'm not sharing my tree with you anymore.
All right,
bastard. You're like, Maddie, you're up then.
Whatever.
I can move and then still shoot.
Yep. Yeah, you get every turn you get a move and a shoot. Or a move and an action.
Oh, wait. I wouldn't have lost that.
Nope.
Two success levels. That's 10.
That's 10. All right, so he takes 2. The creature is pretty severely wounded at this point, and it's beginning to kind of like bounce and caper about its spot where it's attacking, and its wings are starting to flap like it's attempting to maybe, as the beast that it is, attempting to flee. It looks like it's going to attempt to recede into its cave.
Can I put the blunderbuss into its mouth? Is it like weary enough?
Let's see. It is Martha's turn.
Mm-hmm.
She steps forward saying, "Now my plan is in action!" And like fires the killing shot. This is her last arrow. And it flies off aimlessly into the woods.
Because Martha's terrible.
And the Jabberslife is going to... What does it want to do? It is going to do something gross.
Oh, God.
Pissed off and angry... It is going to take a couple steps backwards towards the cave and lash out its tongue once again. But this time it's going to go for the smaller, simpler prey of Madison.
Uh-oh.
The look on his face!
No! I missed it by 3.
Oh.
The tongue flies out, just narrowly missing you, close enough to smell.
Ew.
As its barbed tongue flies back into its mouth as it begins to backpedal.
Oh, no. No, no. Into no. The cave. I'm charging that guy.
All right, it's a new round. I need everybody's cool check.
Even as it backs away?
Just looking at it is enough.
Oof, I fail it.
That time I succeed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, Bernie, I need you to roll me another d10.
4.
A 4. In addition to having animosity towards the halfling, you also now... What's going on? You begin to stammer as you suffer from the surprised condition. It's affecting your brain.
Mm-hmm. Surprised...
Here, read us. Remind the audience what a surprise does.
You can take no action or move on your turn. Oh, man. You cannot defend yourself in opposed tests. Opponents striking you in melee combat gain plus 20 to hit. And remove all surprised conditions at the end of each round or after the first attempt to attack you. Okay, so I can't do anything.
Essentially, you lose your turn.
Well, that's badly timed.
That is badly timed. Dorinfin, you're up.
Get it, Dorinfin.
Oh, yeah. So I'm a success of... Yeah, a success of 10 levels.
10 levels?
10,
holy
yeah.
Cripes. So what's your damage?
So 20?
Jeez, it's getting worse. All right, Bernie, you stare at it dumbfoundedly.
Yeah, I can't.
As your vigor and everything else kind of like drops to zero as you... kind of just stare dumbly at the creature.
Alright.
Maddie,
can you do 6 points of damage?
No. I'll do what I can.
Ooh,
oh! Okay, maybe.
Okay.
So plus 4 is 80. So 6 success levels. 14.
14 minus 8 is what?
6.
6.
I can do 6 damage.
You did it!
Wow!
You did it! 6
damage. You hit it right between the eyes, and the creature, like, it didn't just get slain. It just kind of, like, that last little bit just kind of caused it to collapse slowly and fall into death.
Wow.
Nice.
It died gracefully and without spectacle.
No more bleeding on my friend.
No, the stunned and surprised dwarf is standing there covered knee-deep in ichor.
Obviously now stunned and surprised that you just killed it.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
The creature falls down dead. Now, let's see. The Jabberslythe was slain. The flood was prevented. And at least some of the disasters that could have befallen Gottheim were averted. Now, if these criteria were met, there's still some hope for Gottheim. Over the coming hours and days, more survivors of the Jabberslythe's attack emerge from their hiding places. They work together to restore what they can of their shattered community. None will be left unchanged, and whilst they can provide no reward, they certainly do regard the three of you as their heroic saviors of Gottheim.
Nice. Can they give me gold?
That was the no reward part. But tell me, what do you guys do now that you've slain the Jabberslythe, one of the more chaotically disgusting creatures of the Warhammer world?
Let's go explore its cave.
It's disgusting. It's filled with bones and half-eaten bodies of villagers. It is doesn't look like it's been living here long, but it has made a plenty of a mess during that time. And it is... There's plenty of its purple ichor all over the place as it's...
There's no, like, armor or anything like that lying around in there?
Unfortunately not. I do know of a suit of armor.
Yeah, the chaos armor that the blacksmith is working on.
You guys gonna go back and see what happened to the blacksmith?
I am going back into town to take a friggin' bath.
Before we leave, can we...
You go back, there's a well outside
of
the
inn. Yeah, I'm just gonna jump in it.
You lower yourself down on the bucket.
Then you contaminate the whole water source.
That's true.
There's a trough somewhere you can use. Yeah. There's also a river and a lake. Let's not forget about those.
Yeah, the river's fine. Either of those are fine. I need this crap off of me.
All right, you go and wash off in the river. It takes you the better part of the afternoon to feel like you're actually clean. It's disgusting. By that time, you've finally forgiven Madison Pattison for whatever wronged you.
Okay.
Can we take a trophy? Is there a valuable part of this thing that we can take with us?
See, that
a tooth or a horn?
Ooh,
or
the horns. Something. The horns from that thing look pretty cool.
A lot
cool.
of the above are definitely possible.
Off the back of our little cart.
That's what I'm saying. We could just like...
Oh, I didn't read this little description here. This might help with what you're talking about. With creatures combining the most repellent aspects of toad, dragon, and insect, the Jabberslythe is one of the most hideous creatures of chaos to haunt the wild places of the old world. Not only is it a formidable foe, but those in its vicinity are struck by a contagious madness that can easily break the mind. It has all manner of claws and horns. It may perhaps its blood is useful. It's got teeth. Spiky bits.
Is its tongue worth anything?
You don't know. What do you guys want to throw on your cart?
I want the antlers.
I think we take the horns off.
Yeah,
of
the horns,
for sure.
Yeah.
Alright, you guys spend some time dismantling this thing's head.
If we have to run back into town, is the blacksmith shop gone?
Alright, you guys,
we need a saw.
Go back and check out the blacksmith shop.
We need
shop.
A saw to take these horns
it's,
off.
It's still on fire, and you can see inside there's a body of a man. Hugo. Well, Emil is outside, and he's already been put out by just the weather and consuming him. But Hugo's inside his suit of armor. He didn't make it out alive. It was a spiky man. But the armor's still there, charred and black.
Too big for me.
Yeah, too big for me too.
But yeah, you can find tools. You find tools to dismantle the Jabberslythe, and you, I presume you drag your cart out there and
Yeah. Fill since we're in town, drag the cart out.
Interesting parts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, should make for some interesting things to sell when you eventually mm-hmm. make it down to, it wasn't Avernheim, but Auerswald. So, have you named your horse yet?
Yeah, we'll call it Horse.
Horse, with a capital H.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Horse and Apollo and the cart, Jabberslythe bits, and the burning city of Godheim behind you. Maybe you'll visit it again someday. Maybe it'll feel a little bit better. But if anything, you'll be welcomed warmly. I have some experience for you guys.
Right. Cool.
So no gold? Part.
No gold.
These guys are poor. This one was poor gratis.
No, I'm sorry that they had no reward, only that you are their heroic saviors.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good enough anymore.
She's like, not when I got armor to
yeah,
buy.
Yeah, I need some armor that I need to save up
Let's go
for.
Let's sell some Jabberslythe pieces
yeah.
and
we'll yeah, I mean, maybe that'll earn you some cash. You know what, we can cover that in the... In the post-game wrap-up, you guys will easily find an apothecary somewhere in town as you visit Auerswald and mm-hmm. who's willing to take that stuff off your hands. And let's say it's worth a total of 8 gold pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe one of you can mark that.
Do we split it evenly?
You guys decide how you want to do that.
I'll forego it to you for your towards your armor.
Yeah, since I'm the one who took all the frickin' damage.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. 20 points for dealing with the maddened villagers outside of Godheim, which you did.
20, you said?
Yep.
Did we get 100 for just the adventure?
Let's do 75 for tonight plus the 20.
Okay.
10 points for each villager saved from the disaster.
Mm.
Let's see. You guys saved... Let's see, the children were not saved.
Nope, they were obnoxious.
Actually, you might get a fair amount of experience from this one, because a lot of these people did live.
There's like 7 or 8 people that
yeah,
are still alive.
You tied up a lot of people, which is actually going to benefit you here. Let me see what... Oh, there's a Jabberslythe again.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Let's see, okay. So, Bruno, or Hugo Schmidt, died in his armor on fire. He's toast. Literally. All right. Clara Kellner, the barmaid, is alive. Kai Bauer and Martha, you guys had them escape. Bruno, the baker, was sent back. Wilhelm was stopped from jumping out the window. And Martha survived the battle with you guys, giving you a total of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 points.
Hey-o.
You get 40 more points if Gottheim was spared from any further destruction, which you get. You get 60 points if the Jabberslythe is slain, which you managed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get 20 points if the Jabberslythe is slain as the result of calling in outside assistance.
Not really.
Hmm.
Well, wouldn't that be the other, that other chick doing an arrow? I mean, technically, she got him twice.
She was going to do that on her own. We didn't really call that out.
Yeah,
and
we didn't.
Let kids
I'll let you guys decide if you
I can't
claim
take
that
one.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think it's a.
Claim it. I don't mind either way. If your character feels like that was legit for them, and that and take your character's morality into play, like Jay, maybe that worked for your character, but like not for Layla's. I'm fine either way.
Yeah, I'm not going to take it.
I'm fine with it. I'm not trying to tell you one way or the other.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Gottheim lives to see another day.